Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today is Monday, July 2nd. Almost 4th of July. 2 days away. Are you guys fired up for 4th of July? What are you going to do? You going to barbecue? Light fireworks? Go boating? You going to have a boating accident? This was no boating accident. This was a shark. 4th of July, man, no matter what, reminds me of two things. Jaws, which is the all-time super masterpiece, and I watch it every year around the 4th of July weekend. Sometimes I get lucky and it plays at the Arclight, and I go see it in the theater. It's the only way I watch it, in the theater. I don't watch it at home. I don't watch it on YouTube, none of that shit. I go sit in the theater, and I take the ride back to when I was 9 years old watching a masterpiece. Anyway, two things. What do you got? You got Jaws, and then you got firecrackers, M80s, bottle rockets, and Roman candles. That stuff. That stuff sits in my brain still every 4th of July. It's a flashback to being a kid going to Chinatown in San Francisco, going down some side alley. Guy looking at you like, firework? You're like, yeah. And then you just hand him money. You don't even know how much. And then he'd slip somewhere and come back, and he'd have a brown paper bag, and you look inside, and it would just be full of, like, bricks of firecrackers and M80s, and you could sell them to other people in your neighborhood, make a little money. My buddy used to sell bubble yum. That fucking guy was young, man. He would go buy a box of bubble yum and sell it like a quarter a piece at school. Firecrackers, same way, man. You buy like a brick for like $10 and you sell a pack for like $5 or something. I don't know. You made some money, man. That's some early pre-weed dealing. That was that's your intro to sales and mathematics. You know what I mean? That's probably why I'm either going to be a comedian for the rest of my life or a salesman from the early fireworks. Anyway, rambling at the top. How are you guys? Just back from Vegas. I was out there for what, like 5 days doing the brand new Comedy Cellar at the Rio Hotel. And I got to tell you, it was incredible, this club. I'm not a Vegas guy. Everybody, you know, I think you either love Vegas or you hate it. I don't hate it, but I wouldn't go if I wasn't working, ever. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I hate cigarettes. But I love comedy, and I'll do it anywhere. It doesn't matter. And the Cellar has built a spectacular club at the Rio, man. I mean, you know, you never, when you're performing in Vegas, you don't know what you're going to get in the audience. It could just be like people from around the world. That's what's so great about starting comedy at the Comedy Store in San Francisco, was it would be a gamut of people, some Germans, some Australians, some dudes from Sherman Oaks, somebody from San Diego, you know, some whatever. It's just a wide array of people. And that's what it was like performing in Vegas, but not at this place, which was a pleasant surprise. Tons of locals are going to this club. Actual serious comedy fans, and it was just great. And I got to work with some amazing comedians, some New York comedians. Michael Somerville, check him out. Ricky Velez and Jessica Kirsten, all just killers. And my boy Keith Robinson came in Friday night, did a little stop in. He was working with who was he out here with? I'm drawing a blank right now because my brain never works. It never works. Wanda Sykes. He was here with Wanda Sykes. A lot of comedy in Vegas this week, and it was like us, and then Spade and Ray Romano, and Wanda Sykes and Keith Robinson. So Vegas is definitely a new hotspot for comedy, which is great, you know? Anyway, thank you, Comedy Cellar. It was a great, great run. Very, very pleasant Oh, it's one of the cool things that made it great was, you know, Vegas can be like, for me, it's just like a boot camp. I just go there and work. Like, I work on podcast stuff and comedy and write stuff in my room and hit the gym, you know? But what made it great was my boy Evan from Hero Jr. flew out from Indianapolis. If you've never checked that band out, check them out. Evan came out for like 3 days, and Greg Riley, my boy from San Diego, El Cajon Harley. So it was really cool to see some friends, you know, that really helps me in Vegas to get through it. It's just kind of like, oh, some fucking friends here. You know, because you work, you do 2 shows a night, and then the rest of the time, I'm just sitting around like, oh, man, what am I going to do? So thank you so much, Evan and Greg, for coming out. So damn cool of you. And, of course, thanks for everybody else that came out, anybody that came to the shows that I didn't get to talk to. What do I got coming up? Great guest today, and a totally outside the box guest. You guys are going to be like, what is this? And you know how I love handmade stuff. Today is a guest that I strongly suggest you listen to. Most of us spend our life, not our life, but a lot of our life in bed, and we never even think about it. We don't think anything about mattresses or how they're made, what's in them, who gives a fuck. I pass out in them and wake up and go to work, come back home, pass out in it. Years ago, I think it was about 25 years ago, I was turned on to a company called McCrowsky Mattress Company in San Francisco when I was living there, and quickly found out that mattresses are not all the same. And it changed my whole life. And I was always obsessed with this company. And when people would say, hey, I got to get a mattress, I'd grab them like, oh, yo, you got to get this mattress. And they look at me like, you're a lunatic, Dean. Yeah, I am a lunatic. I get it. And as I get older, I get really, really nutty. But these things have been handmade in San Francisco since 1899. They are not cheap, but they are made the old school way. And I've put some photos in my Instagram feed. And it's pretty mind-boggling what they do to make a mattress. And it's insane that they're still around being made in San Francisco, especially in this this climate of, you know, go cheap, make a lot of money, try to get the maximum profits, all that. That is not their game. Their game is to make the best product. And I've had one for about 25 years, and it's finally worn out. Anyway, so I think you're going to enjoy this episode if you're into the handmade episodes. It's not all guitars and motorcycles. And I love all kinds of stuff, of course. You know that if you've listened to this over the last 6 years. Anything from tube mics to watches to mattresses now. So I hope you dig it. I enjoyed doing it because I went to the factory and took a tour. I always knew about the company, but I never went in the factory. So pretty amazing. We're going to get to that in a minute here. Just a couple more things. Some upcoming guests. Jamie Just is coming up. Jim Campolongo, the guitar god himself. Josh Z, another guitar god. Jorma Vic, drummer for Eagles of Death Metal. Those are some of the guests coming up. Let's see. Busy week here today. I'm going to move out of this thin wall apartment and just throw my stuff in storage and just be a little bit of a nomad and see what happens. As I sit around and think about it, and you've heard over the years of listening to this show, you probably think I'm crazy, but, you know, I don't really feel like I've been grounded since I lost my apartment in Beechwood Canyon about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I lived in that place for 12, 13 years. It felt like home. And then since then, I've been bouncing around from Sherman Oaks now to West Hollywood. And it's a bummer. And it is kind of making me crazy. I don't know where or what I'm going to do. what the future holds, but I'm going to see what happens. Roll the dice. As my boy Keith Robinson says, hey, Dean, you didn't get to where you were playing it safe. And that is true. So we'll see what happens. Going to throw this shit in storage and bounce around from East Coast to West Coast and just do comedy and podcast and live the dream, so to speak. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's been a rough 6 months at that fucking thin wall apartment. Nothing worse. Like I say, I wish they let you test ride an apartment before you move in. Find out what kind of piece of shit the place is. You know, stay in it for a weekend. But that's the life of apartment living. And, you know, I've made my bed and I lay in it. I get it. I could have worked a full-time job and saved money, and bought a house somewhere, and just been chilling at 52. But I don't know. I would probably fucking lose my mind. So this is just part of the game. And as you get older, it gets scarier. I get it. I'm like, fuck, man, I'm 52, going to be 53. I don't even know where I'm going to live, what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go out there and keep slugging forward. I love you guys, and thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you want to donate to the podcast, go to patreon.com/DeanDelRay. Really helps out, and I appreciate all the Patreoners. They got an app now for the phone, and I post up some stuff on there periodically, and I love you guys for helping me out. Upcoming tour dates that just got added, July 14th and 15th, I'll be coming with Bill Burr to Portland, July 14th, two shows, Keller Auditorium, and July 15th, Paramount Theater. Paramount Theater in Seattle could be one of the most iconic Seattle rooms going, man. And I'll tell you, there's been some insane concerts in that room in its lifetime. And I'm looking forward to doing that room. The history in that room is unbelievable. And all Paramount Theaters, man, the one in Oakland, and, you know, they're like the Fox Theaters. They're just beautiful and prestigious. I'm looking forward to doing that. I could kind of use a weekend with Burr. That'd be great to see him. I don't get to see him as much, of course. He's super busy, and I'm bouncing all around, so I always love to hang out with him. I hope to see you guys there. That's all I have for tour dates. If you want to see me, I'll be all this week in Los Angeles at the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory, and also in New York. I'll be bouncing around some clubs there, the Cellar and other shows. I love you guys. Keep the candles lit. Let's get into this little mattress talk here, and enjoy your 4th of July. Candles, Roman candles lit. All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today will be a handmade episode featuring an incredible company right here, McCroskey Mattresses. Am I saying it right?
You are, thank you.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Robin McCroskey Azevedo, third generation of McCroskey Mattress Company owners.
I have my show, I interview rock stars. You know, and movie stars and comedians. But I also, once or twice a month, like to interview people that do stuff old school, build stuff by hand. Mm-hmm. And they're the rock stars to me. You know, people that make motorcycles, boots, leather jackets, anything. That being said, years ago, I grew up in the Bay Area, living in San Francisco. I hurt my back. Carrying an amplifier too fast. And I still don't remember who it was. It was either Chris Isaak or Lars Ulrich from Metallica. One of them, I said, oh, my back is messed up. And that was during the, I guess, late 80s, maybe early 90s, of everybody sleeping on futons.
Yeah.
And futons were the hot thing. It's a futon, but it's a couch. You know, small San Francisco apartments. It's great. And somebody, one of the two, I don't remember who it was, or maybe I dreamed it. I don't think so. Said, you should check out McCroskey mattresses. And to me, being a rock and roller, I'm like, beds don't matter. You know, all I knew was the word Tempur-Pedic, like Sealy Tempur-Pedic. People would talk about that with a pillow top and all this. And it's $800. I was like, $800? I'm not spending that on a bed. I've never even bought a bed. I don't even know where I got beds. You know what I mean? Somehow I moved from apartment to apartment and I have beds. So I go into this factory showroom on Market Street, old brick building, just to go check it out. There's different mattresses in there. I meet a lady. She tells me, oh, yeah, these mattresses are made by hand. And if you want, you can make some payments. And I was like, payments? What do they cost? You know, at the time, it was like $3,500. My car wasn't even that. But I started thinking, you spend your life in your bed, a lot of it, you know, and I could make payments, and I did it. And it changed my life. It ruined my life because I would be on the road in hotels.
That's tough.
And I would be like, oh, this bed is terrible. And I became obsessed with this company because anyone that would say, I need a new mattress, I would grab them, pull them aside and go, you need to get one of these beds. Now, I want to specifically let everyone know, this is not an advertisement. It was just, it was that monumental to me, a bed like that. And now I figured I'm coming up here. I got to have somebody on the show about this factory. And it's still happening. So it was amazing. So give me some rundown on you. How old are you? I know it's rude to ask, but how old is the company, and then how long have you been here?
So the company was established in 1899.
1899 in San Francisco.
I'm not quite that old, but I'm old.
In San Fran.
In San Francisco, yes.
I love that when you think about it, because, you know, think about all the old stuff back then, Levi, you know, stuff that was made here.
It is neat. Yeah. It really spans three centuries.
Three centuries. Yeah. And how does it start?
And how does it start? You mean, how did it start?
Yeah, how did this company, mattress company, start?
Two brothers, my grandfather and his brother, came from Chicago to San Francisco to sell bed-making equipment. The older brother had been in that business for some years. I'm not sure why they came west, but, you know, the call of the West.
Yeah, right? The late 1800s, early 1900s? Yeah. I mean, what is that, gold rush era?
Well, it's just after gold rush, but a lot of excitement, and San Francisco has always been an attraction. The West Coast has been an attraction.
Absolutely, especially the weather and the what you have, the oceans, the mountains, compared to Chicago.
Sure, it is. So they started in the business of selling mattress equipment and then got into making mattresses themselves and became manufacturers and retailers in San Francisco.
How did they figure out how to make mattresses? Like, I mean, of course they're selling make mattress equipment.
So, yes, so they knew how because they were selling to makers.
Right.
So I imagine that transition was not difficult. I'm not sure what prompted the decision, but it was a good one because we were still making mattresses.
Yeah. Now, what do you think back then? Mattress companies, were they just kind of city or state things? Was there like Sears where you go buy a mattress? You know what I'm saying? Was it just like, did you just buy a mattress from the local mattress guy? There wasn't companies, you know what I mean?
In those days, there were a lot of mattress companies in San Francisco, so it was a local buy. You weren't buying from a company that had a huge factory and distributed.
Right.
So, which is more true today. So you knew your local mattress maker. At one point, we have some reference to, I think there might have been 20 mattress makers in San Francisco.
That's incredible.
And over time, they consolidate, go out of business, we happily remained in business and
yeah,
remained in the area.
What do you think early on, what there was no real, I mean, when you think about that time period, there was no real, now I look at you as, oh, you make stuff by hand and this is done the old way. But back then, there was really no, I don't think, any loyalty or like, oh, this is more comfortable than that one. It was probably just where it was in your neighborhood, right?
Probably convenience played a big part into that it was locally made. But the advantage of that, too, is if you had an issue or a concern, your maker was nearby.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I didn't even realize that at the time, like I said, that you could even buy a mattress that was made. I just figured they were all made in like China or something. And they were just in these, you know, Macy's in the showroom. You didn't even care about a mattress. You get on it, you go, this one works, and you go home, you know? But eventually they start selling, and of course, and other people go out of business, and it starts to kind of take off, huh? And it's becoming popular.
And also, you know, when you started out buying a mattress, you're younger, it's not a consideration.
Right.
And we all can sleep on anything.
Yeah. You got them at like garage sales.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like somebody was moving, it would not even for sale. It would just say free mattress. You should go by and pick it up, you know?
So, but I think today, in today's climate, people think more about mattresses for a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of advertising and you can't avoid it in one sense. But two, people are more conscious of their health, their well-being, and are paying attention to a good night's sleep is important.
Yeah.
So I think that's in many of our customers' minds. And the minds, you know, the population in general thinks that way today.
Right. Now, you just gave me a tour of the factory. The factory, the showroom is still on Market Street, and you used to make them in there, right?
Correct.
But what happened? You got too big, and you have to come up. We're out here by the ballpark now, by Pac Bell.
So the Market Street location was built to be a factory and showroom in 1925, and it's a four-story building. And a factory that's on four levels is never as efficient as on a one-level floor.
Oh, that's terrible, right?
So it was urban manufacturing of an era, but just as business grew, we looked for space that's on one floor that allows for a better, more efficient factory layout.
So that location, 1925, where were they building them first before they get that big building? Were they just in the garage?
They were in a different locations in San Francisco. They were in a building on 16th and Harrison Street for a number of years, and then built their own building.
They built that building
on Market for the purpose of being a factory and a showroom.
So they must have been doing pretty damn good to be able to build a factory in like what are we talking, 20 years later or something, right? What did they start in 1890?
So 1899. So within 25 years.
They built that factory. Just think what that property is worth right now in this landscape. Do you guys think about that?
Well, we all do.
I mean, think about that building in the 70s. It was probably worth maybe 50 grand in the
70s. Perhaps, and I don't even know how much it cost to build the building. That's probably some information somewhere, but...
Yeah, so they built it after the 1906 earthquake.
They did.
So that street is kind of a ghost town back then, you know, maybe some building, because, I mean, you're building a factory. There's no, like, building codes or anything like, oh, we're going to have houses here or business. Just, here's a factory, you know?
So, but we had neighbors in the area, so if we see pictures of that era.
Wow, houses?
The hotel next to us is...
That's
built
still there,
then.
Right?
Yeah, that was there. And not some houses on the side street, but Market Street was either businesses, car lots. There were a fair amount of car lots in that neighborhood.
Wow.
The Muni turntable building was around the corner. So
turntable building turntables?
Not building it, but it was sort of a hub
Oh, wow.
where Muni equipment was.
Wow. So they start building them, and these mattresses, you just gave me the tour of the factory. At some point, I think, I don't know when it is, maybe 30 years ago, I just start seeing these like other mattresses that are like pillow tops and all that. So I don't really understand what was different about yours until I get into there. And now, see, I always knew that they were handmade and what they were, but now being in the factory and having the tour, it's pretty mind-boggling that you guys make them here still in America, right?
So, yeah, some people look at it like that, and we've always been here, so yeah. It's not mind-boggling to us, but we're proud to make them locally.
People start sourcing stuff out, yeah. You know what I mean?
A lot does get sourced out.
So at what year do you start working here? And like, I'm in the mattress business.
I started working here in 1980.
1980?
Yeah.
Wow.
And part-time. I had worked in the financial sector of San Francisco, stayed home for 3 years, had a little kid, and then decided it's time I should go back to work, but was part-time. So I thought, who's going to hire me part-time? And I went, Dad. And he did.
Yeah.
And then part-time got to be full-time, and then it got to be overtime. And along the way, I was like attending Mattress U. I really came to understand the family business, what we did, and made me really proud and was interested in seeing it continue.
Was there a particular time where you saw an explosion in business, like some era in your time from 80 to now, where you're like, whoa, this is getting out of control?
So what the probably business time that we had, and I would even say the mattress industry in general, because we follow the industry, was the late 90s.
Late 90s.
So big explosion. A lot of companies expanded their factories, and it was a time that we gave thought to leaving Market Street Manufacturing and moving across town to a space that is the one floor plant.
The one here we're
and
at
that's
now.
That's where we are, yeah.
Oh, when what year was that you moved here?
We moved here in 99.
99, because business was just crazy booming.
So, yeah.
And what do you think that was? People started to get health conscious?
Well, and I think it was a good time in general.
Yeah.
People were buying a lot of things. It wasn't just that McCroskey or just the mattress industry was booming. Things were booming then until, what was it? There was a crash of 2003.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
And which we survived.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was, just a good time. I noticed people were painting their houses and improving, so it was an era of abundance, I suppose.
How did you ever get the word out? Because you're a small company, and of course I heard about it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Is it all grassroots, word of mouth still?
Well, that's really helpful, because when you tell a friend, as your friends told you, that gives you confidence to come and shop.
Right.
And especially for something you don't buy every day. So we really appreciate referrals from customers. But other efforts over the years are our marketing efforts, PR articles are always helpful. And continuing to build a good service, good customer service, or build a good product and offer good customer service. So promoting our reputation, or really being careful of our reputation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys do a cool thing. Like, when you buy the mattress, doesn't matter where you live, they ship it to you, they show up, and they take your old one away.
Which is
great, because you never know what to do with that. You know, you're like, oh, what am I going to do with this old thing? I mean, now you can kind of throw it in the street and in the city here, and somebody will scoop it up. But, it was like, for a while, you don't have a truck or anything. These guys come, they show up, and they set it all up.
Part of the service.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I remember my exact experience with this was incredible, because I go into this beautiful brick building. There's just one woman in there. There's kind of like a desk, and I see the price. I'm like, oh, that's, I'm not going to be able to pay that. And they said, no, there's payments. And I was like, payments? Like what? And they go, yeah, you could just pay us once a month, no interest. I was like, really? And it was old school. She whipped out this book. She wrote my name down. And then I would go by there. Oh, I had, I think it was a payment booklet too or something. I can't remember. But I would go by once a month and just drop off a payment. And then one day I was paid in full. It was so like, have you guys always done that?
Yes, we have. And we still do it today. But it's just today it's more automated.
Yeah.
So we offer a payment plan. People pay by credit card. And
it comes out automatically.
Yeah. And it, yeah, so we don't get to see our customers stop in and make a payment, usually.
I went in there and they had the mattresses.
Yeah.
And they said, choose your flavor, which is kind of pressure because they all feel good compared to what you've been on, you know? Yeah. So here I am coming from an old futon and I'm like, this one's good. And then I get on another one and go, oh, this one's great. It's almost like the, what's the old story? Somebody's sleeping in my bed.
Goldilocks.
Yeah, Goldilocks. I felt like I was getting in these beds like, this one's great. And you had different, there was five of them, I remember, and they were different firmnesses. Mm-hmm. Run me through that. So you had like the Cloud, I remember, or whatever it was, the super soft one.
So the Cloud got a nickname for the most gentle comfort that we make. And we have three lines, the Classic, the Platform, and the Natural.
Right.
And not an overwhelming choice, but we think it's a nice offering, and the sales staff is really very good at helping people pay attention to what they should in order to select the right comfort.
Yeah, and the platforms, we're gonna run through them. I learned from being in that showroom that day was these other beds are pretty much garbage out there, right? In a way, they're not going to last more than maybe 10 years. People think they're getting these pillow tops. They're super comfortable, all that stuff. But that stuff just wears out right away, right?
What we find, because we'll bring in other brands of mattresses from time to time, is that there's not much under the covers. There's not much material inside them. And it's always surprising.
Right.
And some of them will have a pretty hefty price on it. But you saw how opulently we filled these mattresses.
Yeah.
If you cut open what you find in most stores, there's maybe a couple of inches of padding.
Really? And so, what else is in there? Just
and
nothing?
There can be foam or kind of a stiff foam or an inner spring, but not as well made as what we use.
So a proper bed, and I didn't know this, shouldn't really have any like pillow top kind of stuff or whatever, right? Like yours, you're using actual cotton inside the bed or wool filled inside that mattress. And other companies, what do they, you think they use just like synthetic, just stuff, they just blow it in there?
Well, it's not really blown in. There's a variety of layers to use. McCroskey's never gone to a pillow top construction because we build the comfort throughout.
Right.
And we don't confine it to a pillow top. And McCroskey still builds a two-sided mattress because it just is a better buy.
Right.
More last. We ask people to rotate it. We ask them to flip it. And that's for even wear. But you just get a product you can enjoy for a longer time.
Yeah, so if you got a pillow top, you can't flip it. So you're sleeping on the bed for 10 years, and all of a sudden it's just worn out.
Yeah.
And yours, you flip it. I used to flip mine every, I'd say, 3 months, you know, rotate it.
Great.
And great. And it was hard, I was telling you, because these things weigh like...
Well, you just need to have a flip and rotate party.
Yeah. Like, what do they weigh? The mattress seems like it weighs about 100 pounds or something.
So I think the queen weighs about 120.
120, that's what I got, yeah. And I would pick it up sometimes on my own and then do this like magical kind of spin and have it made.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
There's a commercial.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So I went through the factory. And I'm going to tell you guys, it's pretty amazing to see how these beds are made. You have a box spring that is all made by hand. It's stapled down and tied together so it doesn't fall apart. And then your one of the most amazing things about your bed, which is funny because I'm so into looks and aesthetics, is the covering of the mattress and the box spring. It looks like something from the 30s.
It does.
Is that the original design?
We, over the years, have done a lot of stripes.
Right.
So it's not the original design because there have been varied stripe patterns, but we've liked that a lot, that pattern. And that look, and now it's a distinction because
absolutely
nobody does a striped ticking.
It looks beautiful. It looks old school. So, when you look at it, you go, oh, I'm getting something different here. Totally. Now, when the person comes in so they can lay on the beds, that's what I did. You got 1 through 5. What do you think the most popular one is? Because you said you sleep on the cloud soft one.
Well, in general, I think people like a gentle comfort, not necessarily the most gentle.
Right.
And people are often surprised they like that because we've got in our head that, oh, it's got to be firm. That's something like your grandmother told you and it's stuck.
Yeah, firm mattress. You need a firm mattress for your support.
But what we'll have people do is lie on their back, see how it feels. Pay attention, lie on their side. And I would say most people are side sleepers.
Yeah.
So we really want to pay attention to how it feels against hips and shoulders because those are pressure points. And,
yep.
So not the most firm and not the most gentle. Neither is most popular, but in between.
That's what
others are well selected, but
the middle one
middle comforts
seemed to be it, because I got the super soft when I was like, oh no, this isn't going to work at all. I thought at first, because when you're at the store and you lay down on it, you go, oh, this is amazing. I mean, it's like something you've never been in. And then after a while, I think you do think, oh, it's a little soft, you know. But I get it. Do people change over the years? Like they go 20 years with one, and then as they get older, they order a different one?
In general, as people age, they like the gentler comfort because there is more sensitivity at hips and shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, we all, you know, feel, I belong to that group. We all feel pressure at hips and shoulders.
Mine's 22 years old. What do you think some of these people are the oldest ones out there? Like, what do you say? Replace it every 25 years?
Well, we say pay attention. Sleep on your mattress as long as it's comfortable. But two things happen. A mattress will wear and you will wear.
Yeah.
And sleep's important. So pay attention to what's comfortable to you, what support you're getting out of it, and replace it. So for one person, maybe they should replace it after 8 years for a personal reason. They need something that's entirely different. If somebody has a product for longer and it's supporting them and comfortable, that's fine.
I can't even believe how long I've had mine. Oh, like when I called in, I go, hey, mine's kind of worn out. What's the warranty on it? They go, you've had that 22 years. I go, what? I couldn't believe it. You know, the whole reason I even called you guys up was I was moving and I dug through and found the original receipt.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, man, look at this. Here it is, the original receipt, you know? And that got me thinking. Another thing that got me thinking was I was really paranoid in the last couple of years of the invasion of bed bugs. Mm-hmm. Me traveling every week as a comedian, I'm freaked out about bed bugs because if they get in your bed, you got to throw your mattress away, pretty much. There's not a way to get rid of these things, you know. It's not like lice or crabs where you just set a bomb off. These people are throwing the mattresses away. Do you get a lot of people that had bed bugs and get new ones? Like
we have. We had a couple come in and they had traveled to Europe.
Yeah.
And brought them home on their luggage and infested the house. So they had a tough time with that infestation. And what they learned from that is when they come home, they put their suitcase in the bathtub.
Yeah, that's what I read.
So then you can take things out. You can wash them. Wash dry. Heat will.
The heat kills them.
Kill them.
Yeah.
So.
God, it's such a.
But you can't turn the heat up in your house hot enough. You know, it's got to be like a dryer.
Right. Exactly. So I walked through the factory. So first of all, I saw bed springs were being put together back there. And then I went into your sewing room, which is incredible. You sew everything in here, all old school. And then you put the handles on, the grommets, everything. And the mattresses breathe. You put these breather holes on them. Did they always have this same design? Or over the years, are you finding, okay, let's change this stuff? Because mine didn't have those new kind of... new sew-down things. What are they called?
The tufts.
Yeah, mine didn't have that. So over the years, how much has the mattresses and the building changed? Sure.
They haven't changed extremely. When you build an inner spring mattress, just because the coils don't have filling materials inside them, you've got kind of an accordion flex, good for breathability. Using materials that breathe are good, the kind of materials used. I think the eyelets or grommets, as you refer to them, along the sidewall of the mattress was introduced probably in the 30s, and we've continued with that design because of breathability. But we know what is good and what has value and what you keep. And the industry in general has learned how to make things more quickly. They make a one-sided mattress today, they make a pillow top construction. So a lot of those ideas don't add value.
Right. What kind of problems do you find in being your own company in this this day and age of not, you know, everybody just making everything out of the country? I know people are going to look at this and go, $5,000 for a mattress? Are you out of your mind? I can't even have conversations with people like this because they're the same people that'll like buy like three packs of cigarettes a day or 10 coffees. I can't stress enough what it means to have a handmade something. And the difference of it compared to a $500 mattress or a $100 jacket compared to a $2,000 jacket, or these jeans that are $300 compared to $20 made in, you know, Vietnam jeans or whatever. What kind of problems do you find, like difficulties of like being made in America, you know?
Well,
insurance wise, you know, cost of stuff. My thing is, my bed was $3,500, I think, in 22 years ago. Now they're $5,000. The cost and inflation, all that stuff of doing stuff. Why do you think most people just go out of America? Because of price, right? And greed?
They you know, may go out for price. I think, rather than call them problems, they're really a challenge. So if people think it's too high priced, it's letting them know how we make it, the value, what we think they should pay attention to. So those are just challenges, and how do you meet them? How do you inform them? All of us pay a lot of money for the things that we want to pay, that we really like.
Yeah.
So it's positioning the importance of the mattress and giving them an understanding that, you know, what is the value? Would you pay for 1 hour of good night's sleep times the 7 hours you sleep? That's kind of a good way to think about it. You spend, you know, $5 on a Starbucks coffee.
Yeah. That last
probably
1 minute.
Costs, yeah, 20 cents.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
So, for real, 20 cents.
So where's, you know, so... anyway, there are always challenges. There's a challenge of buying online versus brick and mortar, and you learn how to blend those and benefit the customer.
Yeah, I mean, brick and mortar is so valuable when it comes to mattresses. You know, you need to be able to go lay down on it. I mean, I do know these companies that go, We'll just ship them to you. You don't like it, we'll pick it up in 30 days. But they know that most Americans will just be like, that's fine. You know what I mean? They're not going to go through the hassle of having them come back and pick it back up. But mattresses, I mean, what is that number they always say that you spend like 3/4 of your life in bed?
What well, is 3/4 is a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's some crazy number, you know.
So if you, you know, spend 8 hours, that's a third of your life.
Yeah.
You got to spend the 2/3 for having fun and making the money. But you want that good night's sleep of, you know, 1/3 of the day.
There were times where I did spend 3/4 of my life in bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, somebody out there depressed is going, man, that's not long enough. It's what kind of I see a lot of the product stuff that you do down there. Have companies just gone away, like over the years, like grommets, stuff that you use that you would order from other companies, have they gone away?
So yes, companies do come and go to an extent, and when you manufacture, you just always need to pay attention to who your suppliers are or who your future suppliers might be. We belong to an industry association that keeps us informed on people that make components that we buy.
Yeah.
So so that's part of life. You know, you're building something.
I always trip on when I go to a company, just like I'm here, you forget about all the actual things that are behind the scenes to make the thing. So you showed me this one machine in here that put eyelets in. And I'm like, well, who's making that machine? You know what I mean? Like, and how many of those machines would they possibly sell in 1 year? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, it is. And then because what we do is so unique, we really have to pay attention and be a step ahead.
Yeah, or you have to constantly have somebody just service this machine, even if it broke down, because there's not another one to buy. That's wild. Yeah. Think about all the things in your factory right here. The elastic handle, the grommets, the breather eyelet grommets, the actual material. You don't make that material, right, that goes onto the mattresses?
Correct, we do not.
Right, so all that stuff, you know, when they go away, then all of a sudden your product changes, and it gets crazy out there.
So those are the challenges for a maker in any industry.
Yeah. Really. So. How many employees?
So we have... I think 23 employees some in the factory and then in the three showrooms, San Rafael, San Francisco, and Palo Alto.
Oh, wow. So, and you took the LA one out.
Yeah. And we were in Los Angeles for 3 years.
Were people buying?
They were. And we still have a customer base down there. And really, we had a base down there before we went down there. But it's easier to manage ourselves as a Bay Area business.
Right.
And we'll ship anywhere, and so that's something we tried, but we think of ourselves as a San Francisco Bay Area business.
Well, there's people like me that get addicted to it and then move somewhere else. And I mean, I probably only need 2 mattresses in my lifetime. I'm 52 now. I probably only need one more, maybe. Hopefully, there's no way I would need 2 more.
Well, now we had a friend of the family who at 50 didn't want to buy a new mattress because she wouldn't get her money's worth. And she lived to be 103.
Wow. She actually was pushing, like pinching pennies like that. Like, I'm 50, and if I buy one now, she thought she would just be dead at 60.
Well, I don't know what her departure date was in her head, but.
Well, even if she died at 70, you would get your money's
worth.
She
outlived her departure.
She lived the next 54 years in pain because she didn't get a mattress. That's insane. How many mattresses do you do a year?
We make about 40 a week.
40 a week.
So it's, you know, very small compared to giganto companies, but everything we make is very well made.
I mean, you got to think about that. 40 a week, so 160 a month.
So
that's a lot of, to me, a lot of beds.
Well, it's a lot of handwork.
Yeah, but a lot of beds. Yeah. When you, there's millions of people in the Bay Area. But now you got to start looking at the pockets of how many people. Well, right now with this techie money and everything, that's got to be great for you, right? Because people want the best of everything. I'm a techie. I make tons of money. What's the best mattress? What's the best juicer machine? What's the best espresso machine, right? They want everything the greatest. That's pretty wild. Well, I think what you should do is charge techies more. They don't know, right? They come in, what's a mattress cost? These are 10 grand if you work at Apple, right? You get discounts compared on what your work is.
What your income is.
You live in San Francisco?
I do.
Wow, you've been here all your life.
Grew up in Burlingame and have lived in the city since getting out of college, so.
It's changed,
long time,
huh?
So it's getting a little thicker.
Yeah.
A little denser.
It's pretty, it's a weird city right now, right? The climate of it is bizarre, you know? I couldn't live here again. Yeah. I don't make that kind of money.
So.
To think about that.
Yeah.
You know? That factory of yours, who's after you? You got family in here working?
So, well, good, I do, and a great team of managers, so that's really important. So my dad and uncle were in the business together, and they worked 8 days a week, so I don't work 8 days a week because I have a really good team that knows what they're doing.
What so about, but I mean, once you're gone, is there somebody in the family that's going to take over?
Possibly or possibly not, so not a defined plan on that, but what we just look to is that as it continues, that it's made in the same spirit as it was established.
Right, right.
So,
are there other companies? You don't have to name them or anything, but are there other high-end mattress companies like you guys' itself? Because I never really investigated it once I fell in love with this company. I was like, I wanted to support San Francisco. And I just love the company.
Yeah. In San Francisco, we're the only maker of mattresses, but there are a lot of companies that make a higher end product. A lot more companies that make low end product, but there's product made overseas. It's very costly and imported.
There's stuff that's more high end than you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You can get, what's the $90,000 mattress? And
$90,000 mattress? And what would be the difference of that? Did you ever look into it? Is it just like hype? Or they just put a price?
About $86,000 would be the difference.
That's the only difference, right?
Some of those are really well made. I don't know that they qualify for the huge gap there, but or
that's supportive. Incredible.
But so it's interesting. So that's, you know, I guess that's some marketing.
I believe in that, because if you tomorrow said your mattresses are 10,000, that's what they are, 10,000. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the people that say no drift away, and other people go, oh, yeah, these are great because they're 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know why they were 3,500 at the time, and I wanted to know why. And when the person explained it to me, like, this is actual cotton inside this bed, it's not garbagey foam. This is all handmade. These are going to last you a lifetime. Once I started realizing, oh, this stuff is actually made like the old world, I was on board, you know? And it's a fantastic product, you know? And just walking through this factory, now it makes me want to have the wool one, you know? Because the wool one is the high-end one, right? What's it called?
So we call it the natural tufted.
The natural because it's all natural products?
So the filling materials are wool and natural rubber latex.
Yeah.
And then the steel inner spring and the cotton covering material. And then the classic line built similarly, but the filling materials are cotton blended with a polyester fiber.
That's what
really,
I had.
And then the difference is in the cost of the materials, not the construction.
Right.
I mean, the construction in both is
what is better about wool against cotton?
The reason for choosing it is, I think, is what's the most comfortable one you like.
Right.
So the higher price doesn't mean it's better. It's what's comfortable to you.
So in the wool or the cotton, they come in the five densities?
In the wool or the natural line, there are, in a sense, there are really four comfort choices. A firm and a gentle, you can use it right on a platform surface without a box spring.
Oh.
Or you can also use it with a box spring. And in the classic line, there are five comfort choices. And then we have a mattress that we make that works well on a platform surface, no box spring. And there are two comfort choices there.
I thought that when you got a McCroskey, you had to get the box spring too. That was part of the whole comfort of it.
We think the nicest comfort is a mattress on a box spring.
Right.
Because you've got coils in the mattress. That's the heart of comfort, and coils in the box spring.
Right.
But lots of people like mattresses either on a low profile surface, or they like the feel of a mattress on a platform. So,
like if you got a wood bed frame, yeah, and it didn't have room for a box spring, you just laid the mattress
and
on.
And some furniture styling really is asking for a really low profile look.
Yeah.
So,
like ultra modern?
So in the vision of that bed,
gotcha,
there's no place for a box spring.
I always thought that was weird when you were too low to the ground and then you get out of bed. It's like almost you're working, like, oh God, you know, you're like, I like the McCroskey was up kind of high.
Yeah, it is nice. It's
and then
nice
does it come with a frame? Did mine come with a frame?
Well, I actually have to check your order, but
right,
if you get a mattress and a box spring, it needs to set on a frame.
Right.
And
did it come with that?
So, It could have,
yeah.
Unless you had a frame,
I didn't
but
have one.
But if you
one,
didn't,
yeah,
most likely we sold you the
and
mattress,
then,
box spring, and frame.
Now here's something great you told me, which is amazing. You make custom sizes, which I'd never even heard of before. For a minute, I was like, oh yeah, I've never. To me, it's California King, mm-hmm, King, Queen, Full, Twin, or whatever. But do people get unusual size beds, like what, really big or?
Well, we used to sell more because people had furniture that was made before sizes were standard.
Oh, yeah.
So you might have had your grandmother's bedstead,
mm-hmm,
and you could do a couple of things with it. We could make a mattress for it, and it might have been a sized before a queen was a queen or a double was a standard size. Or sometimes people convert sizes, so they convert a bed from a double to a queen. Anyway, we can accommodate that. Sometimes special sizes are made just because somebody wants a special dimension, and
right,
they might even have a bed made. We've made a couple that are really wide.
Really?
Like, so a king size is 72 inches wide.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? Yeah.
California King. The biggest
sure I'm
one.
I'm not missing my link.
The biggest one, California King.
So we had a customer that wanted something that was about 105 inches wide.
Whoa.
So he had a bedstead made for it. And he was, I think, a baseball player. And we made some round beds, but I think we stopped making them.
Round beds?
That was
Whoa, that's 70s right there, huh?
Or it was even in the 50s. But a round bed is not a good bed because the only place you get your full length is right down the middle.
Oh, yeah, the
it
other people.
Getting smaller.
A round bed, that's so twit. That's some Elvis stuff right there. Like, you know, like when you go to Graceland, here's the jungle room and the round bed or whatever. That's bizarre. You get a lot of sports guys? Like, how about Joe Montana or anybody?
So we've gotten football players and from the local teams. Yes, we do get some. So that's nice.
Yeah. How about rock stars? You get a lot of rock stars?
So we have some rock stars and some, you know, what...
R&B stars, I heard about it from rock and rollers.
And society stars, and so. But we usually don't comment on their names
because
we respect their privacy.
Absolutely.
So, and, you know, unless they want to, if they want to give a testimonial, that's great.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a testimonial for you.
You are.
Do the employees get a free bed?
So they do.
They do.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll work here for a weekend.
You got to stick around for a year.
They got health care?
So, oh, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow. I can't thank you enough for doing the show. I know it's kind of weird. Have you ever done an interview?
So we do from time to time.
Right.
Once in a while, so.
It was just something I really wanted to do because it's... I really believe in stuff that I think that people just don't really grasp how important it is to support companies that, you know, make stuff in America by hand that are great still. Mm-hmm. And people don't really know why they're good. Why does that cost money? Why is this and that, you know? And I think when I tell people about it and they listen to this show, like I said, 90% of the people probably be like, no way, I'm not doing that. But the 10%, and I meet them all the time when I'm out on the road, they go, man, I got one of those mattresses. It changed my life. Or I got this pair of boots that you were talking about, you know, or I got a jacket. And it really, I think it needs to be heard, you know, about people doing stuff old school way. Because it's, you know, like I said, those mattresses are just disposable.
So, and I think another thing that we do in an old school way is really the attention that our customers get on the sales floor from our sales staff.
Yeah.
You know, the staff is paying attention to their needs. Erica's sitting with us today, and she got this great letter from a customer that just really said how nice it was to shop here.
Yeah.
And
that's how I felt.
And get the information and be treated so well.
Yeah,
that's really pleasing.
Well, you got to look at how old was I when I, okay, I'm 52. I bought it when 22 years ago. My second one, my first one was ruined. so let's say I'm 30 when I buy my first one. You know, at 30 years old, I didn't care about anything. You know what I mean? I'm playing rock and roll.
That's a young customer for us.
Yeah, that is a young customer. And so I think, and I'm tattooed up. I go in, they're like, oh, you're looking for the building down the street or something. You know what I mean? I'm like, I need a bed. My back don't work. You know what I mean? And that bed changed my life. It really did. And they brought it over, and I was on the second floor. Those guys were pros. They just slid the bag off, dropped it down. They're like, see, I took the old one. I was like, wow, man, I threw on the sheets. I couldn't wait to go to sleep. It was daytime. I had to wait, you know. But thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to hear is customers that can't wait to go to sleep.
Yeah. Give them your website and everything so they can find you.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
What's the website?
So, oh, I got it. Yeah. www.mcroskey.com.
Yeah. And then the showroom, San Francisco, San Rafael.
And Palo Alto.
Palo Alto. Yeah. You got them all in the rich areas. I like you. So. I see how you work. And the showroom opens 7 days a week?
It is. So that's shorter great. Hours on Sunday and 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
I'm going to go by tomorrow again.
Okay, good.
Just great. An old school way.
So, well, you'll be there tomorrow. Are you in San... Are you off? Oh, you're off. Yeah, you're a prom mom tomorrow.
Prom mom, right. Yeah. Do you got one, Erica?
Yeah, a McCroskey?
Yeah, which one you got?
I have the natural.
That's the one I want.
Yeah, so I have the natural firm.
Natural firm.
Yes, so it comes in two different comforts, firm and gentle. I have the firm.
In the natural, it only comes in two, it's not the five, like on the...
It's not the five.
Why is that? In the natural, it's not offered across, because it's just so expensive? You don't want to have a bunch of different ones?
So the natural line is about 4 or 5 years old, and we're happy with the two comforts. We think it starts to get confusing if you do too
much. Yeah, it
really
does.
And then the natural gentle is not quite so gentle as the classic.
Oh, wow.
So that might
be the one I go.
So
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
natural
come on
comfort.
Over.
Natural comfort.
Yeah, the natural firm is amazing. All the beds are amazing.
Natural firm you have? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Natural firm with the box spring.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you. Yeah.
And what a great place. Yeah, I mean, it was cool to take the tour. Can people come do a tour?
Yeah, we'll do a tour anytime.
Wow.
Really anytime. So yes, yeah, so tell your listeners they're invited to a tour. Give us a
call. It's really cool to see the machinery.
It
and
is
the
fun
guys.
To see.
The guys are making them right in front of your face there.
It's just surprising because you can't quite imagine how a mattress is.
I mean,
how a McCroskey mattress is put together.
Yeah, when you see the mattress, how much is in there? It's like, it looks like this pregnant, broken bed. It's like, and then the guy just squishes it down. That's how much stuff's in there. You know what I mean? It's like exploding at the seams.
Pretty. Yeah, it's about, you know, a good 2 feet thick, if not a little more when we're filling.
How many, one last thing, how many toppings? Options are the stripes, the covering of the mattress, three or blue or brown?
There are three lines, so there are three ticking covers.
Oh, gotcha.
So we define the classic line with a blue stripe. We define the natural with a natural tan stripe. And then we do a basic, which is a platform, which is in a diamond stripe.
It's how cheap is the platform? I'm just curious.
So pricing of mattresses start the classic, then it goes up to the platform.
Oh.
And then it goes up to the natural.
Oh, the platform's the middle price?
So the platform's the middle price.
Oh, wow.
Because it's something you're using without a box spring.
Oh.
So we really want it.
Oh, I got you. I wouldn't even be interested in that one. Anyway, I always go box spring, old school. I don't want to be, unless I bought some kind of weird, you know.
Well, and you should be
King Arthur bed that you can only put.
You should really be shopping to your comfort.
Right. You gotcha. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another Let There Be Talk Handmade. And go check it out, man. It's definitely interesting stuff. And if you do have one, it would shoot them an email and say, hey, we love our bed still. And maybe it's time to get a new one. Who knows? Because mine's 22 years old. And I'm sure somebody would grab mine. And go another 10 years on it. I'll see you guys.